You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Josh. Only three players of my FPL team have played through the first six matches of this game week. We're more than halfway through the game week, and only three of my players have played. What's going on?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. I think when they met up the schedule, I think they took all of the quarterfinalists, you know, because they're trying to compress everything. I think all the quarterfinalists have these later in the game week matches, and those tend to be sort of the better teams. So this really feels like it's like we finished the appetizer course of game week 37, uh-huh. And the really big matches. Almost all the captains are still to play tomorrow, but you're actually on vacation right now, and so hence yeah. The funky recording time. This is like Monday in the middle of the game week. It's also we are 6 days away now from game week 38, Brandon.
I know the season is almost over, but there was really not a good time for us to record this week because game week 37 is so drawn out, and there's going to be just a very quick turnaround from 37 to 38. We want to give people a chance. Yep. Some time to listen to the podcast. So we at least push back to Monday. And I have been working on my free hit squad all morning and afternoon in preparation for game week 38. So we can talk a little bit about that. I have some questions about good or bad investments that I might be making in my free hit squad for this coming Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an interesting... You know, I mean, it's really, I think this actually will end up being one of the shortest podcasts we've done this year because there isn't that much to talk about. It's game week 38 and you are making one transfer, maybe two, or you're on a free hit. There's no long-term planning. I mean, everything is built around, you know, one fixture. And, you know, sure, maybe you want to wait until after Wednesday to make any moves just to be safe, you know, make sure no one gets injured. But other than that, it's pretty fixed. You know, it's who's going to do the best in the final matchup. So we're going to keep things pretty tight on this week's podcast. Because we're recording this halfway through the game week, we're not going to do the Super League. I'm not even sure we really need to check in our teams. I'll just note I had a like kind of a just annoying, like the injury bug kind of hit my team right at like the worst possible moment. I had Holgate injured, Lascelles injured, and then Aurier went back. He played the Newcastle match and then he went back to France. Kind of all indications, although Mourinho had left it open ended, all indications were that he was not going to be coming back. So I was in a position where I was only going to, I thought I was only going to have two defenders, playing this week. And so I briefly considered just playing that way. And then I was like, no, I should do this. And then, but I also have Ben Foster at home to Man City and they have just been so terrible that I was like, I could get a negative score if I had Ben Foster on my team. So, yeah. And so I sort of kicked around some ideas. I considered Dunk. I considered a second Wolves defender. I considered going with Burnley. And ultimately, I decided just to be different and go with a Sheffield United defender. And basically, they had one good chance and Everton had one good chance and they scored. And maybe two, I guess. Calvert-Lewin hit the post at one point as well. So in the end, Aurier played and got a clean sheet. So it was a like an 8-point swing right there, which is just kind of like it feels. I don't really know what I could have done, you know. So I'm annoyed about it because it's it's an annoying situation. But I mean, you know, I talked on the last week's podcast about like I'm just trying to like be process focused and like fix your weakest link is like just the like fundamental rule of fantasy. So I feel like I made the most sensible decision and it's just kind of annoying that it came back to haunt me. So, you know, there we are.
Yeah. I think you're on the right track there too. And a part of your process was to hang on to Kane through the tumult of this Spurs restart. And you found him in a differential. And given what happened to Danny Ings, who was my transfer, I brought Ings in for Giroud and Ings went from what could have been a glorious 2-goal, 3-bonus-point match to a very bare-bones 4-pointer, even getting outscored by Chris Wood, who was the other darling striker transfer target going into game week 37. So I think your process on Kane proved that you're thinking in the right way. Just had some really bad luck during this restart. Also, mad respect to Serge Aurier for playing through this horrible trauma that his family is going through. So I think that's just good to know.
Of course, respect to
like
him.
Like I said, I only have three players that have played so far. There's not much.
I'm not saying like he should have stayed with his family or whatever, but just, you know, it was annoying trying to, at a selfish, purely fantasy level that he came back and played.
Yeah. Yeah. On a happier note, it was great to see Matt Doherty coming through for a lot of managers who have been staying the course with him and the Wolves defense. So, yeah, there's not much left to say about 37. Let's just roll on, Josh.
Let's do it. And one new patron. Thank you. We have a new. excuse me. One more patron. Thank you. We've got a new Volkswagen patron. Thank you to Kim Eric Stokeland. Always nice to get a new patron right near the end of the season. And Brandon, because he's on vacation this week, I will be doing the Kitchen Table podcast. I'll be recording probably Wednesday night, possibly Thursday, if we're waiting for some late breaking press conference news. But just a reminder that all of the matches take place this Sunday. God, I could even record on Friday. I don't know, Brandon. I'm going to record a podcast for Patreon supporters at some point over the next seven days. All the matches take place at the same time on Sunday. And it's weird. This has been, it's been a pretty long season. And even with the break, it felt like we kind of didn't think we were done with this. I guess there was a moment there where I thought there was just no way that we were going to have it at all. We've been all over the place.
Yeah. It's like the horror movie, right? Where the villain is dispatched near the end, like he's dismembered, but you do know that the villain is still going to jump up from its its prone position. It's not quite dead yet. So it was the lockdown. It was the horror movie moment of the Premier League season. And we knew that the villain wasn't dead yet. So now we're still hacking away at the villainous body of the Premier League.
Let me put this another way, Brandon. We recorded our price prediction podcast like the last week of June in 2019. So we have now spent 13 months talking about the 2019-20 fantasy season. That's a long time.
We laughed ourselves.
So, yeah. We laughed ourselves. Exactly. So it's game week 38. I'm excited about it. It's going to be awesome. I hope the rest of game week 37 goes well. But I also think that I think it'll be good. I think a month of vacation and beach time and not spending my Saturdays yelling at the TV, it's going to be good for me. Mm-hmm. And I said this on Twitter earlier, Brandon, but MFFA is my motto for this year, for 2020. And that's make fantasy football fun again. Is that MFFA? F-A? Yeah, I guess there's three
Fantasy
A's there.
Football fun.
Anyway, Brandon, still working out the acronym. But let's make fantasy fun again in 2020. I'm going to work on that. And if people have advice, you know, it's just a game. That's not going to work for me. But if you have real advice for maybe we need to do more of this match of the day stuff, you know, maybe more of these match of the day challenges. I don't know. That's going to be the goal, though, Brandon, over the next 6 weeks is how to make fantasy a fun, a pure game. You know, how do you do that, Brandon? That's my question for you.
I wouldn't rule out electroshock therapy, especially for you, Josh. I think. A lot of managers out there where it's easier said than done. And this is a point that we come back to again and again, which it seems so cynical, but it's frankly the most true thing in being a dedicated fantasy manager is the only real fun thing in fantasy is scoring points. So I regret to inform you, Josh, the only way to MFFA is for you to score more points next season. So let's make that happen. Let's make that our goal.
Yeah, I've never been able to string together two really good seasons in a row. And so this season's a little bit of, I mean, I'm like around 100K. Like, it's not a disaster. But
yeah, you're having a fine season.
It's fine. Yeah. But I think, I don't know, next week we'll do our kind of wrap up, looking ahead, kind of end of year pod. And so I think maybe on that pod, we'll talk about lessons learned, lessons for next season. And so let's table this discussion because we've got one more game week to come. And how do you feel about game week 38, by the way, just before we get into the discussion about the matches, like it's game week 38 is like, as a fantasy manager, it's a real experience. It's like a VR kind of thing, right? Where it's like you like strap in for 2 hours and you're just like in it, you know, pure flow.
What was that? A Ready Player One. It's like a Ready Player One situation. You get to inhabit the body of Decore as he rampages through the Watford midfield. What a boring game that would be. Well, I feel like I'm approaching game week 38 as just sort of it's a going away party for an old friend that you're not really that close with anymore. So, you know, that feeling of like you're going out Saturday evening to somebody you've been friends with for like 6 or 7 years and you're not that close with them anymore. They've taken a job that's all the way across the country. You're never going to see them again. So you show up to the party to say your piece, have a drink and get out of there. And that's what game week 38, I think, is to me.
Right. Is this in reference to the friend that emailed both of you and me about having a Zoom hangout later this week?
That's funny. Yeah, Josh and I both got the email from that same friend. That may be what the seed that planted that idea. I think you're right.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll talk about game week 38. Let's talk about strategy for one transfer, two transfers, and free hit and a lot more. You're actually on a free hit, so there's lots to talk about there. Take a break. Get right back. All right, Brandon, game week 38 is here. A lot of people still have a free hit chip to play, and a lot of people have, I guess some people might have a bench boost or a triple captain. I guess we could maybe touch on those as well, but I think the free hit is a useful thing to talk about because when you talk about free hits, you're just talking about the best possible transfers you can make, right? So even if you only have one transfer, you have two transfers, talking about a free hit sort of opens you up to all the different possibilities. So I think it makes sense to kind of focus on that for this game week, or the focus the discussion on that. So I have a question here that came from King Koopa. It came from our Always Cheating Patreon Slack. And it's a little long, but I think it sort of perfectly sets up game week 38. So Brennan, can you read off this question?
Absolutely. Big thanks to King Koopa for this long but perfect question. Koopa says, waiting for 38 plus for the free hit seems like a great plan. Now I feel completely lost. Who are the must-haves? Vardy, Ings, Alba, and Salah are in the hunt for the golden boot, so that would seem to make them appealing. Chelsea, Leicester, Manchester United, Spurs, Wolves, and maybe Sheffield United with European spots to play for. But I'm not sure if it means they're all likely to play more conservatively, i.e. playing for draws or parking the bus after going up 1-0. Liverpool and Man City fixtures look great on paper, but they have nothing to play for other than Salah for the golden boot and KDB gunning for Henry's assist record. So can you bank on any of their other assets? What do we do? And yeah, this is like... Right. All of the problems with the free hit are articulated perfectly in that question.
Yeah, it's like that's like 25 minutes of podcast that just got compressed into one question. So I think that game week 38, and there's actually a question here from Boston Prof too. He says, as a first-year player, what is different about the last game week and what should we plan for our teams as a result? So I think these sort of tie in together. You know, game week 38 is different. It's very unique, and I don't know how different it will be in this kind of compressed season. If anything, I think it'll be even wackier because the stakes are always about the same. You always have three or four teams with a Champions League spot. You have a couple teams looking to avoid relegation. And you typically, there's usually a Theo Walcott type player, some random like talented but inconsistent player, like Diogo Jota. Yeah. Like if Diogo Jota got like 18 points away to Chelsea, like I'd be like, yep, that's that's game week 38, you know? So yeah, how are you? You're building your free hit team right now. You know, tell me a little bit about, you know, who's in it. What's the team look like right now?
Well, the way I'm approaching it is I do feel like all these problems are plaguing game week 38, but we're focusing on all of the problems right now because there is special pressure on 38. It's the last game week of the season. You want to make it count. Those of us playing our free hit, we want to make it count even more. And it's not like we just have one transfer decision. We've got 15. So I think you then start to look past the basic necessities of fantasy. So imagine this same game week 38 block of fixtures happening in game week 23, you'd still have your same concerns over rotation and results, but you would just stick to the plan. You'd stick to the plan being City are playing Norwich. I have to get three City players. Liverpool are playing Newcastle, who would also be on the beach. I have to get Liverpool players. Manchester United in great form. I have to get Manchester United players. So I think to simplify things for me, I'm just focusing on the good teams and the good players, especially ones with fixtures. The toughest nut for me to crack with my own free hit, though, is Manchester United, because that really, I think, is the most exciting. Well, it's going to be tricky. It could come down to goal difference between Leicester and Manchester United for that fourth place spot. You'd think that it will depend on how well Manchester United does. Who do they play, Josh, later this week? Why am I forgetting?
Man United. They play West Ham at home.
Right, right. So a lot of this does come down to the West Ham fixture, but I do. You think that's going to be a cagey match. Leicester want to win. But what do we actually know about Leicester? They've been so poor since the restart. Additionally, their defense has been poor. I mean, Harry Kane, old man Harry Kane, dropping deep to score a brace against them earlier in game week 37. So you would say Manchester United have it all to play for and everything to prove. They should do well against Leicester. So I'm not seeing as many problems as I am seeing too many players that I want. The trick is, how do I fit them all in? And with my current free hit, And talk me through this, Josh. I'm currently committed mentally to doubling up with Mane and Salah in the midfield. And, you know, that goes against what I'm saying of like play what you know. And what we do know about Liverpool is they've been struggling for some attacking form. So would you try, how would you play Liverpool on a free hit yourself?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know how excited I would be to have any of their players. I mean, I would probably have Mane or Salah just as kind of like a coverage pick. But I mean, they have not looked, I mean, okay, yeah, they don't play until Wednesday and, you know, maybe they'll beat Chelsea 6-0 or something, you know, and this will all sound very foolish. But I mean, honestly, they've really only played one good match in the last six? I mean, I'm looking, the Man City match was terrible. Aston Villa match 2-0, but they did not play well in that one. Brighton, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, Salah certainly played well in that. Burnley, not great. Arsenal, not great. And then Chelsea. So, you know, include the Everton away match in 31. It just, you know, whatever kind of like rhythm and flow they had before the break, it really is gone. And so, you know, it feels like they're still so talented that from a fantasy perspective, they can still be explosive. But I mean, having just spent $7.5 million to have Trent on a free hit when he got me zero points in game week 36. I mean, I definitely am it feels like that on the beach effect is happening. So, I mean, in Newcastle, yeah, it's, you know, Newcastle's pretty devastated along the back line, but is, I don't know. I mean, just Liverpool going to Newcastle on the road and winning like 6-0. I just don't see it. You know, I just don't. Yeah. It's just not something that I mean, neither team will have anything to play for, you know? So,
yeah,
I think that could be, I think like Minamino could start that match. You know,
you're taking me down a path that I need to walk down because I need more money. I've actually started sacrificing Manchester United assets to go in on Liverpool. And that just doesn't feel quite right to me. So yeah, I think I need to dump Mane or Salah, if not both of them. I think Manchester United are still super appealing all the way from Rashford and Martial to Bruno. Manchester City, I think I don't quite know how to frame it because they're not upside because so many of these players like KDB are really highly owned, but they have been on a really bad run. You know, they're knocked out of the FA Cup and they do need to get congrats something to going.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, well played. And congrats to David Luiz for basically, you know, once again, dodging the bullet, the headshot that was trying to end his professional career. And he's back. But I think City just need to talk about that rhythm that Liverpool lost. Manchester City still have their biggest goal yet to play for, which is the Champions League, which will happen in August. Right. They need to have something going their way. I do think that we'll see some of our friends, definitely KDB and David Silva, his last match at the Etihad likely to be played here too. I just think the upside with Man City here is they could score 10 goals against Norwich. I mean, Norwich at 37 against home Burnley. Have you seen a team embarrass themselves in a way even remotely close to that as Norwich did against Burnley?
No, it was shocking. And it made me feel kind of silly for not bringing in a Burnley defender. And the only reason I didn't do it was just I wanted I wanted to be a little different, you know. I thought that, but I also thought, I mean, you know, Pope made a great save. Norwich actually looked like they were capable of scoring in that match until, you know, the multiple red cards. And I got a little grief for making fun of Ashley Westwood for his, you know, what I felt like was a bit of a dive. And have you seen a replay of this? Have you watched this at all?
Oh yes, I have. My thoughts on that would be, he made a meal of it, but it was a deliberate, violent act by Buendia, and it's a red card offense. I take your point that there was some gamesmanship happening there, but the issue that you're having is a VAR issue, and I agree that VAR has been a complete disaster for the Premier League this season, and not because it's allowing red cards where there aren't red cards or allowing or not allowing goals where there are or aren't. It has been so inconsistent. And the entire goal of this VAR project was to bring some level of consistency into the game. And it has only just exploded that conversation. We're not supposed to be having these conversations, yet here we are. And it's not that. So I would posit that it's not that there's anything wrong with VAR. People's perception of how games can be officiated is wrong. There is no right or wrong answer. You just have to let referees have control and accept the outcome no matter what.
I really think that's true. And, you know, my feeling on VAR, having sort of thought it through a little bit, is it probably won't go away. And the reason it's not going to go away is because these teams, the actual teams, like Manchester City as a you know, corporate entity, cost so much money that the Premier League now needs to have the aura of exactness around it. Because, like, we're at the point where, like, teams are going to, like, threaten lawsuits, you know, if there's a bad call in the field. And so it's like it adds this, like, layer of legalese to the whole thing. And I think that's why they have VAR now, because it's clearly not effective. I mean, VAR has made the Premier League, it's like a worse viewing experience. Like you said, it's completely inconsistent. All we do now is talk about the rules, and there's this sort of false equivalent, like this false idea that we used to do that in the past, and we didn't. I don't remember ever talking about the rules. And, like, I feel like all I do now is talk about offsides, you know, and, like, marginal offsides calls and things like that. Yeah. You know, that was never, for 10 years, I can't ever have a conversation about that, you know? So, anyway, so now I'm like convinced it's not going to go away because they have to protect the, like, interests of the owners of these clubs. So that's a grim thought. Let's get back to fantasy for a second here. So Man City, really tricky.
It is, but I think my point is, if I'm looking at all these fixtures, that's probably going to be the most dramatic fantasy scoreline. And that's what, you know, all of the mystery surrounding the City team sheet aside, I feel like you have to go all in on Manchester City for that reason. And I would consider captaining Jesus or KDB. We'll certainly know a lot more about how we can try to predict the Man City lineup after the Watford fixture on Tuesday. But I will absolutely have three City players. I think you're kind of talking me into the vicinity of possibly two, but not three Liverpool players. Manchester United is a must. Then the more complicated team for your free hit is Arsenal. And I think Arsenal is a big upside team, especially with Aubameyang in full flight against City in the FA Cup. He's very expensive, but that is a captainable player right there if you're looking to chase in a mini league or gain in your overall rank. And Aubameyang, I think, will be a very critical free hit player if he comes off, if he scores a few against Watford. And, I mean, to talk about Arsenal, we also need to talk about Nigel Pearson and, you know, the continued train wreck of managerial hirings and firings at Watford. Do they get some kind of dead cat bounce at Watford with this managerial transition? Or are they just ripe for the picking for a team like Arsenal, who is really going to have their blood pumping as they look ahead to that Wembley final?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's I would probably have no Arsenal players in my free hit team, to be quite honest. I don't know. I mean, I could see, you know, the appeal because it is Watford, but and maybe you go with Martinez, but I think. Personally, if I were free hitting, I would triple up on Burnley's defense. I would just wave away all of the other defensive players I was considering. Yeah. Maybe I would have a Trent or a Robertson. But I just think I would have Pope, I would have Tarkowski, and I'd have Peters. And they're playing Brighton at home. Yeah. There's no way Brighton are going to score in that match.
Well, let me take you through my back line, because you're reading my mind here, Josh. And on a free hit, it is actually insane how cheap a defense you can put together. Nick Pope at 5.0, you know, that's a big check that you have to write, comparatively speaking. But Burnley have two sub 4.5 fullbacks. You mentioned Peters, who's 4.3. Phil Bardley is 4.4. They both looked decent attacking. Peters got his clean sheet and assist against Norwich. So I think Tarkowski, fantastic pick, and it's not like he's a slouch on set pieces. There's a potential of attacking returns there, but
right.
Pope, Peters, and Bardsley is cheap free hit defense. Then you throw Diego Rico for Bournemouth. He's 4.2, probably your bench defender, but he will be playing. He actually looked decent. His deliveries that he was putting in against Southampton were quite good, I thought. So a bench player that he's there if you need you. And Jack Stevens at 4.4. Southampton have a match against Sheffield United, probably not going to be very high scoring. So it's a good clean sheet shot there if you don't just want to start a Liverpool defender and two Burnley.
Yeah, based on today's match, I really can't imagine Sheffield United ever scoring another goal in the Premier League, this season or next. Right. So I think that'll make sense. And so then you would maybe have room for Aubameyang up front then. Like what would you?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't have everybody, can you? You can't have Jesus Kane and Aubameyang. Can you do it all, Brandon?
I tried. So my current tinker actually is the full-on Liverpool tinker. So in the midfield, it's Mane, Salah, De Bruyne, David Silva, and Saka, who is probably my bench Arsenal player. So it's a hefty midfield, and it's assuming that David Silva is going to start in his last match in the Premier League. I think I can see keeping Bruno Fernandes in the midfield there at the expense of Mane or Salah, which would allow me to get Aubameyang in up front. Currently, my front lineup would be either a 4-4-2 or a 3-5-2, and it would be Jesus and Danny Ings up front, and Aaron Connolly would be my bench striker. And I think Aaron Connolly gets minutes. He has not been playing a lot since the restart, but Connolly has been a breakout player for Brighton this season. Brighton are mathematically safe. This will be a bit of a walk for them, game week 38. There's no reason why Connolly won't at least get 25 minutes at the end if he doesn't start. But Danny Ings, I think that's right. A tough one. This is a tough matchup, Sheffield United, for Ings. I think Sheffield United still have something to prove, but it's that golden boot race theory that King Koopa touched upon, which still makes Ings compelling. Jesus, I think, is captainable here.
I think so too. I think, you know, in some ways, I mean, the captain discussion, which I think we can pivot to now a little bit too, is really interesting, because I think that you could see, especially if the score is really crooked, you know, if they're up 5-0 at halftime or something like that. I mean, if it's 5-0, he's probably going to be involved in the goal, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I mean, you could, or, you know, it could be that he was sort of marginally involved and then he gets pulled at 45 minutes. I think that there's something a little nerve wracking about him. I mean, I actually wonder if Aubameyang might be one of the safer picks. I know I was just sort of dismissing Arsenal a minute ago, but going for the golden boot.
The tides have turned.
Let's do a quick update here, Brent. I know. I'm just thinking it through. I'm not under free head, and there's really no way for me to bring in Aubameyang, so I haven't really thought about it too much. But let me just pull up the golden boot numbers here. Okay, here we go. Right. So you have Jamie Vardy on 23, Ings on 21, and Abba on 20. You've got Salah 4 back, probably a little too far back, I would think. I mean,
definitely.
I don't know. Yeah. Chelsea, I mean, it's, yeah, you wouldn't think he'd score too many in that one. And then that's really it. Below that, you've got Jimenez, Kane, Mane. No one's really got a chance, in that group. So you have Vardy at home to Man United, and it's possible he doesn't score any in that one, right? Because that's just a very tricky fixture. Ings, you know, 2 back, but Sheffield United, I mean, they're not going to like just let him walk in any goals, you know. And so then you have Aubameyang, who has to be thinking to himself, with Villa and Watford, that he's, I mean, honestly, if he scores like 2 goals away to Villa this game week, I think you have to really strongly consider bringing him in and possibly captaining him for game week 38, because if he's like a goal back in the golden boot race, he is going to try to score like 5 goals in that match.
Okay, Josh.
Yeah. So I am turned around here, Brandon. I'm complete. It's a whiplash. No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking this through.
I'm not. It's fine. It's fine. I'm feeding off of it right now. And you've got me really excited about just ditching Liverpool and going in on Arsenal. Just going in on Aubameyang, I think it's Aubameyang. I think it's staying the course with Manchester United attackers. And you're talking me out of Jesus. And my issue with Manchester City all season has been that, yeah, they score a ton of goals, but these points, the fantasy points get spread around so much. I just want to zero in on the most consistent players for City. So it's KDB, and I don't know what you make of this. I want to hear what you had to say about the David Silva bandwagon, because it does strike me as, there's obvious logic to it, but it also strikes me as that false fantasy narrative of, he's absolutely gonna go off in 38 because it's the narrative is there. We have seen it. But what we know of David Silva this season is it just comes in spurts.
Yeah, that's what Luke said. Is everyone getting a little too hung up on the fact that it's David Silva's line? I'd never use Dilva. Sorry to Luke and to our friend Tom Cantle. Says, should we all be looking at their other mid-price assets like Mahrez instead? Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess I see what you're saying and what Luke is saying. But, I mean, it is his last game, and he is in pretty good form, right? I mean, he looked great a week ago, and I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. I doubt he plays on Wednesday, right? Having just played whatever it was, 65 minutes or something like that in the FA Cup as well. So fully rested at home against a terrible team, who will be even more terrible because two of their players are on red card suspension. It's going to be a walk in the park for them. I mean, you know, even if I don't even know what Norwich would do. I mean, it's not like they could just like park the bus because, what are they going to
do? There's no bus.
Unless they literally just line up, like all 11 in front of the goal and just, but like, why would they do something that pathetic? They're already relegated. So, I think, I actually think that on a free hit, I would really very strongly consider Silva, especially at his price. I hear what you're saying about the crowded. I mean, in some ways, Jesus just makes sense because it's hard to have three in the midfield for Man City, and so he's sort of. Is he a coverage pick? I mean, if you ask me, I know this is a crazy thing to say because we're playing Norwich at home, but if you ask me straight up, who would I rather have in a free hit for 38, Aubameyang or Jesus? I would actually pick Aubameyang.
That does make sense. It does make sense. Yeah. There are lots of expensive players to have on the free hit, and I think that's what makes it tough. But yeah, I think that's right. Jeff Petter actually asked the question, who is your random upside? Thanks, Jeff, for using the upside word and to late riser there. Pick who is your upside pick for game week 38 to score big? And yeah, I think we are zeroing in on Aubameyang. Let's see. All right, let's do a quiz, Josh. And what is what's the overall ownership for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang right now? Can you take a guess?
I'll guess 18.9%.
You're a little low. It's 22.1. So, to put that into context.
Okay.
Danny Ings is around 30%.
Within 3 points. That's pretty good.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If this were Price is Right, you were close without going over and you get to pull a $100 bill out of my pants pocket. So good for you.
Okay. So as far as a random upside pick, a Theo Walcott type, I know he just scored 4. And so he's kind of, he's certainly not off the radar. But I don't know. I think Antonio at home to Aston Villa, I have not seen him in a ton of free hit teams so far. He's a little bit different. I think the problem is it's such a crowded midfield, as you were just saying. There's just so many options.
Yeah,
maybe we need to look at
David,
the forwards.
That's the thing with David Silva is taking the Antonio spot there. So I think that is a fine margin edge pick. I'm making that up on the fly. Let's make it a thing, Josh. The edge pick is, do you go for David Silva or Mikel Antonio for game week 38? Maybe you go for both and you eschew the luxury picks like we were talking about with Salah and Mane, maybe even De Bruyne, though going without De Bruyne is the farthest thing from my mind right now.
It is tricky. And what do you do with Man United? I mean, they're playing a Leicester team, just as a reminder, who don't have either of their starting fullbacks or their starting their best starting center back. So it is literally Johnny Evans and a bunch of randos. And as you saw with Kane, I mean, oh, Kane was so good yesterday. As you saw with Kane, I mean, that Spurs back or that Leicester back line is, you know, just waiting there to get carved up.
Yeah.
By Mignotta, but I don't. How are you going to be able to fit more than like one Mignotta player into your team? I don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah, right. It's right before you free hit all your Manchester United players out, and then they all score a hatful. Because I totally agree. Leicester flatter to well, Leicester deceive. You know, they've just been terrible. They've been absolutely terrible the last month.
Yeah.
There's no reason why. I mean, we can laugh at Manchester United's defense all we want, but their attack is just it's amazing right now. And it's really working. So yep. I think that's tricky. How do you, and I guess what we're settling on here is the way you load up on City and United is you just have to be okay with going without Liverpool. The grand parable that you, the grand yeah. Ford versus Ferrari parable that you talk about, Josh, you have to be willing to let your free hit car explode on you. You have to be willing to go without Liverpool and see what happens.
I think that's true. And it's sort of, you know, I feel like in the particular spot that you're in right now, I mean, I was talking to someone about this earlier and they were like, well, cause I was on Twitter and I was talking about my Make Fantasy Fun Again, you know, my MAFA hats that I'm going to create. And, you know, so
we're definitely putting that in the always cheating shop. That is happening.
And someone was saying, oh, you know, but the problem is, you know, your overall rank is always there, you know, reminding you. But for me, overall rank to me is something I only care about if my overall rank is in the top 10K. And to me, if I finish 97,000 overall or 297 overall, I mean, okay, I don't want to finish like 1.3 million or whatever, but like, you know, if I'm like in the top 300,000, what's the difference? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like to me, I wouldn't see somebody who finished 118th over 1,000th overall. Just at some point you're like, well, you didn't do that well, you know, but you did fine, you know, but you like, you know, it's like, it feels like very fine margins at that point. You know, yeah. Top 10K, you're like, okay, you must've made a lot of good decisions. Like things really worked out, you know, whatever. You know, you played your chips right. But anything beyond that, it's like, who cares? And so I feel like, as far as I'm concerned, if I were free hitting in game week 38, I would be totally shooting the moon. I'd be trying to go for low ownership players. I would captain somebody who was low ownership, and I would just kind of hope that everything broke my way, and that I might see some crazy like 100K rank jump just because I like got everything right.
Let me tell you a story, or I'm going to make up a story here, Josh. So in the future, you meet somebody at a party and you hit it off because you both play fantasy Premier League, and somebody says, "Well, what was your finish last season?" And you're like, I don't know, top 100K. I don't really remember the decisions I made and how to get there. And I was just like playing with my friends and all that. The person you're talking to is going to be like, well, all right, you're not very, very interesting to talk about fantasy with because you weren't really actively involved in this story. But if you're in that same conversation, you're like, well, actually, last season I finished in, you know, the top 400K. And here's why. I made these decisions. It went wrong for these reasons. I made these decisions that kind of went right, but marginally, I just couldn't get to where my target was. That's an interesting conversation. And that's a conversation which that fellow fantasy manager is going to respect you for that. So I agree. The difference between top 100K and top 400K is how do you tell your story and how did you get there?
It is true.
It's like Hamilton, Josh.
It is like Hamilton. I did that meet the manager thing with Joe from Fantasy Football Scout I guess it was last fall. And I've had like, you know, three great finishes. And the only thing we've talked about in there was like my one really bad season. It was like a 40-minute conversation, like 25 minutes of it were just on that one bad season. It is interesting. Yeah. A spectacular failure is so much more interesting and entertaining than a like B+ kind of season. You know, it really is.
All right. What else do we need to tackle with free hits?
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered it. I mean, I listed Antonio as an upside pick. You know, I think defensively, I think one way to do upside would be to be really bold and try to like triple up on a particular team. I think that's one way to do it. I think upside picks from individual defenders, it's just a little too fluky, especially in game week 38 when you might see some, like when teams just maybe not be playing that hard. You know, whereas Burnley kind of have a system. Like they couldn't not defend well if they tried, you know, outside of that crazy Man City game to, you know, for the run the restart. So, you know, who are some other, are we missing any upside picks? Are we missing any one or two other players who are just a little different who no one's really talking about right now?
Yeah, I think Richarlison is there for me. Everton have had so many problems since the restart. They've struggled to score, but only one person has been able to do the business for them, and it's Richarlison. I think you tweeted today, Josh, that is there a more dramatic player in the Premier League than Richarlison? Did I get that right? Yeah, however you feel about Richarlison aside, nobody owns this guy, particularly in like the top 500K, and they're going up against a relegated Bournemouth who have no defenders.
Yeah, I ultimately deleted the tweet because it was too mean. The at replies were like piling on too much. I was like, well, I didn't mean to like hate on the guy too much. It's just like he makes a meal of every foul, you know, and sometimes that can be a little annoying. He Ashley Westwoods it, you know, and sometimes that's not you know, what I want to see.
There's one fixture we still need to talk about, Josh, I think, which would be something we need to cover for those who are not free hitting, people who are still loaded up on Chelsea and Wolves assets. And we haven't talked about this fixture at all yet. And I think this is the hardest one to call. I mean, you talk about the race for the top four, and we've agreed that Manchester United probably have one over on Leicester, but I think it's much harder to predict how that Chelsea-Wolves match is going to go. And I guess we would qualify this as an always cheating hold here, where if you have Jimenez, if you have Pulisic, if you have Doherty, the odds of either team keeping a clean sheet here feel slim to me. So how do you call this one?
I don't hate it as a Jimenez owner, even though I am planning to, I'm most likely going to move Jimenez to Jesus. I have enough money to do that in my bank. And if I had more, I would go to Aubameyang, but I don't think I'm going to burn four to do it. I think Jesus is a good enough pick that I'm just going to bring him in instead. I actually don't hate Jimenez for this match though. I mean, I think he'll have opportunities in the break, and he's a really good player in the break, especially with Traore, you know, like when they sort of play, I mean, like just think of the Man City Wolves match, like a year ago, when he had two assists in that match. Traore incredibly scored both those goals. I actually think that, but you know, is it a high scoring game? Probably not. I mean, that feels like a 1-1 match to me.
I agree.
All right, Brendan, I think that covers game week 30. I feel like we've looked at that from every angle. Although I'm sure you will be tinkering, you know, endlessly, you know, through to the Sunday matches. For me, it's a little easier. One transfer, 2 million, probably going to take out Jimenez. You know, we'll be around all week to talk about this on the Slack and on Twitter and elsewhere. So lots more to think about. You know, a lot of big matches to come as well. So let's take a quick break and we'll get back and we'll finish off this week's podcast.
Hey, guys. Support for the Always Cheating podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Listen, it is summertime. It is hot out there. And some of you out there, like me, are getting sweaty in uncomfortable places. I'm on vacation right now. My wife and I, we went swimming this afternoon. I'm looking at my exposed body hair in my swimming suit. And I'm thinking, man, I could actually look good and feel good if I cleaned this up a bit. But I'm often terrified of taking a blade anywhere near certain areas of my body, if you know what I mean. And that is exactly why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Some of you have more of a putting green as opposed to a lawn. I don't know. That's a personal thing for you. Here are the tech specs. Let's look at this Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer. It features cutting edge ceramic blades. It's not like metal that's going to tear into you. This is a ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents thanks to Manscaped advanced skin safe technology. Josh, do you feel safe now knowing that it is a ceramic blade now?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get there. I was waiting to see if that was what you were going to say, and I'm feeling more relieved now. So yeah, thank you for clarifying.
Outstanding. Okay, when I tell you that this trimmer is premium, I do mean premium. The battery itself will last up to 90 minutes. So just take as long as you want. And you can take as long as you want in the shower because the Lawnmower 3.0 is water resistant. You can just do your thing in the shower, and that's an easy way to just clean up and not get little hairs everywhere.
Yeah, that sounds kind of, that's how I would do it.
You're like Kramer when he installs the garbage disposal in his shower. another cool feature is the LED light, which illuminates while you're grooming. So, you know, if you got the dark corners between your legs, you can see what you're doing. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with a quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget the charging stand if you want to display your magnificent Lawnmower 3.0, or also just make sure it's always charged for that 90-minute trim job. So, listen. You got to trim yourself so you don't get stinky and smelly, and also you just look good, you feel good. I mean, to be honest, look however you want. We're all about, you know, personal wellness and well-being and mental well-being, but this is a great way to beat that summer sweat. And if you want to try the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 and get 20% off plus free shipping, use the code Cheating. This is a great deal just for our Always Cheating listeners. Go to manscaped.com, use that code Cheating. Hey, listen, grooming down there is something you've probably never considered, but we're all stuck at home during this hot summer, during this lockdown. It's the perfect time to experiment with this. So again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code Cheating at manscaped.com. Use that code. It helps us at Always Cheating, and it helps you get a deal. 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com, Cheating.
All right, that's your pod for this week. We'll be back on Sunday with a recap, a lessons learned podcast, a looking ahead to next year podcast. I'll be back later this week doing a Kitchen Table podcast for our Patreon supporters as well. We'll be around. We'll be around this summer. I think we may end up taking a couple of weeks off after the season ends. I suspect that's what we're going to end up doing. The game will probably, I think it's middle of September is when the next season kicks off. So we'll certainly be, up and running probably a month, before that season starts off. So, probably take 2 weeks off and then be back in mid August, after this year in review pod that we do on Sunday. So, Brandon, do you want to thank our Patreon producer patrons?
Yeah, I'd love to. A big thanks to our producers, huge contributors to making this podcast possible every week. And that's Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wegner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy, Brandon Bees, Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screeton, and James Hurd. Listen, we talk a lot about Patreon on this podcast when we're not talking about male grooming. If none of this is really your bag and you just want to say thanks for what Josh and I do every week, go and subscribe to Always Cheating and give us a rate, review, subscribe. We're available wherever podcasts are. Give us a follow on social media, Twitter at Hell Cheaters, Instagram at Hell Cheaters, Facebook.com/ Always Cheating, all that good stuff. All this and more, including our online shop, is available at alwayscheating.com.
That's right. And those Make Fantasy Football Great Again hats will be coming very soon. Maybe that's actually, Brandon, that could be our first scarf. What do you think about an MFFA scarf? You know, you can hang it up. Yeah. Like, you know, I have my arms up right now. Like, I'm just proudly. We're not going to
see it.
You know, the red. Yeah, we'll pick our own color. But all right. So that's the podcast. I mean, maybe we have to. I don't know. We'll talk about that more. We'll workshop it, Brandon. We'll get back. thank you for listening. We'll be back on Sunday. Good luck in Game Week 38 to everybody. Talk to you soon.
All right, Poku forever.